Faye Webster.
I know, me too. Such a queen.
But we're all out of time today. Yes. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Yes, we hope you had as much fun as we did today here in the studio.
Exactly. Well, till next week, we've been Between Friends. I'm Madison.
And I'm Sophia.
And have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Want to keep up with all things Limestone local news? Tune in to CFRC 101.9 FM at 5 p.m. every Tuesday for Kingston Currents. Stay well informed about the issues and developments that matter most to Kingstonians. Join me, your host, in CFRC.
Hello and good morning, everyone. It is now 11 a.m. on Thursday morning. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca, broadcasting from the basement of Carruthers Hall on the campus of Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Rue, and you're listening to the CFRC Live Sessions, a show where the Live Sessions crew brings you musical performances recorded right here in CFRC Studio A by artists from in and around Kingston and all around the world. This morning, we're joined by the Kingston-based folk songwriter and musician Anthea Fever, who's just released her debut album called Summer's Morning. She dropped by the CFRC studios and spoke to today's host, Liam, all about the new album, recording with the band for the first time, the work behind the songs, and about her upcoming album release show on the 19th of October at Next Church on Colborne Street. You can find her music at amphiafever.bandcamp.com, spell fever, F-E-A-V-E-R, and you can find her on Instagram and social media at Saturday Night Fever, again, spelling fever that way. To keep up with the CFRC live sessions, follow us online. We are at CFRC Live Sessions on YouTube and Instagram, and you can find past performances by a wide variety of guest artists on our YouTube channel. If you would like to join the Live Sessions crew for interviewing, audio tech, filming, videography, audio or video production, or anything else that you can think of, please reach out to us on Instagram, or our email address is livesessions@cfrc.ca. You can also reach out to us if you're an artist who would like to do a live session with us here at the station. If you're interested in sponsoring the CFRC Live Sessions and becoming a proud supporter of one of Kingston's most cutting-edge radio programs, please reach out and let's talk. And of course, don't forget to come back every Thursday at 11 a.m. to catch another new live session that we've done showcasing the best of Kingston's sonically diverse music scene and bringing you touring artists from all around the world. But for now, here comes Liam bringing you our session for this week with Anthea Fever. Enjoy!
Okay, hello. This is Liam here with CFRC 101.9 FM. We have Anthea Fever here with us today for the live session. And yeah, we'll just get right into it. So you released your debut album, Summer's Morning, on September 20th. It came out. And you will be beginning a tour starting next week at the time we've recorded this. And yeah, just been gearing up, getting ready to go for a lot of travel, a lot of busy, long nights. What are you anticipating with that, or how have you been preparing for that?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I actually just got back also from a different tour I was doing before the album was released on the East Coast, and then I was in North Carolina for a little while doing an artist residency with Ethnos, a global music sort of program. And then I got home, and then I started getting ready for this tour. So I've had just a couple weeks at home, which has been nice, but definitely busy arriving back and then getting ready to go again. But I'm really excited for this little Ontario tour that I'm going on because I managed to get a lot of shows with some friends of mine in the area at some like cool alternative venues. So I have a house concert at a farm with a friend of mine next Wednesday in Northumberland County, which would be really cool. They have this like outdoor space called The Dome. They've been putting on concerts, so that's really fun. And then I'm playing with my friend Nathan Smith at the Pews in Merrickville, which is like a big converted church building. I'm very excited to get to check that out. Then I have a house concert, and then my Kingston release, another house concert in Ottawa, and then my Kingston release show at Next Church on Saturday. So it's kind of bouncing around the local area, not going too far this time, which is nice, but getting to catch up with a lot of friends, which is one of the great things about touring around as a musician. So you get to make music with people you like and don't see that often.
Yeah, that's definitely a huge sort of benefit and added bonus of being a traveling and touring musician. Now, would you describe yourself and claim yourself to be a Kingston artist?
I think I would. I don't know. I feel like you have to earn the title or something. It's a big club, but it's kind of exclusive. I think I am. I think of myself as a Kingston artist. I was born and raised in Vancouver and moved to Kingston in 2015 to attend Queen's. And that's actually where I started like performing music. I hadn't performed music at all before I moved to Kingston. And then I got into live performance through a club they had at Queen's at the time called Q-Busk, which I don't know if they still exist or not. Probably not, but the aim of this club was to get like musicians who were students together and go play at different local venues to raise money for different causes. So actually the first place I played live in Kingston was the Tea Room on campus here with a group of people. So I think because my career as a musician, like as a performing musician, started in Kingston, and because I've been here now for like 8 years, I feel like I've earned the right to call myself a Kingston musician, I hope.
Yeah, for sure. I believe there has been and always will be a deep and large group of Kingston musicians and bands, and there's a huge live music scene here in Kingston, and I'm sure, as you know, from being a Kingston musician or a self-proclaimed or identifying Kingston musician, you've performed in Kingston and at the local venues and local places in Kingston a lot. What sort of memories and things do you have from either the Kingston crowds or the Kingston venues that you're hoping to sort of relive during your Kingston date here? And then I guess sort of what are you looking forward to, maybe a new experience?
I guess some highlights of what I've seen of the Kingston music scene. A few years ago, one of the great things about this album I just released is that there are some of the songs on it are new songs that I just wrote this year, specifically when I was thinking about the concept of the album itself. And then some of them were older songs that fit really well with the concept of this album. So a few of the songs are ones that I've been performing in Kingston for several years. And so it's been really nice having some friends of mine kind of listen to the album and be like, oh, I remember you playing this song like 5 years ago at the Kingston Community House or something. So it's really nice to have those connections. A couple of the songs, like This Whole World Bringing Me Down, I co-wrote with another Kingston songwriter and playwright, Haley Sarfeld. And her and I used to run a sort of acoustic session in the Kingston community, the Kingston Community House at 99 York Street. We ran for about a year this monthly series of getting artists to come and play acoustically for different causes and charities. And so we would play This Whole World Bring Me Down there, and I'd play Bedtime Story a lot. And we actually had a band for a brief period, which was Haley, myself, and my friend Grace Dixon, who did the album art for my EP, and she did the album design for this current album. I guess some of the fond memories that tie my time in Kingston as a musician together are just having these songs that I've been playing for a while that have sort of morphed now into the recorded version, but which have these really nice memories attached to them of the different iterations that have existed before.
Yeah, it sounds really beautiful almost.
It is. It is beautiful.
I guess getting into that, we'll sort of give our listeners a taste of this new album with this song you played for us called Summer's Morning. Keen like stars. All right, you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM live sessions here with Anthea Fever. That was Summer's Morning. Now, that was the title track of this album, also titled Summer's Morning, that you released on September 20th. And touching on that, you mentioned earlier that there were some older songs on this album and then also some newer songs on this album. So what was, like, the recording and the writing process like for this album?
I sort of started conceiving of this album, like, as something that I wanted to make, I guess, last fall and winter. And I had a few songs I'd written that I didn't release on my EP because they didn't fit with... It didn't feel like they really fit with that collection of music, but that I still wanted to record. And they were sort of a couple of love songs that were these really cheesy love songs. And it was a bedtime story that I wrote as a teenager, which is sort of this, it's a very idealistic romance song, sort of about like what we imagine love is going to feel like when we're teenagers, or even the way sometimes love does feel when you're really infatuated with someone. And so I had that song, and then I had this song I wrote, Summer's Morning, which I wrote a couple summers ago. And I wrote the tune actually as a fiddle tune first, and then I wrote the song. So when I was thinking about making this album, that was a song that really stuck out to me as something I wanted to explore the theme around, because it is a love song. But the line, Summer's Morning, is borrowed from an Appalachian ballad called Come All Ye Fair and Tender Maidens, which is also recorded on the album. And that song is about basically how when you have romantic trauma or when you're hurt in love, it's really hard to ever trust anybody again. And so there's like love is this really beautiful, positive, overwhelming, wonderful experience when it's good, but it also has the capacity to just be really devastating and traumatic and hurtful. And so that's sort of what the album revolves around, is songs of love in the best sense, in the best way we can have and feel love, and also in the worst sense, and how hurt we can be and how difficult it is to navigate those experiences when they happen. So yeah, I sort of took those cheesy love songs and was like, let's also write some really sad songs to go along with this. And then also some like songs about how we're not taking care of the environment or in the world, and how we can also love the world better. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Listening to the album, I definitely immediately recognized and resonated with those themes of love and the themes of sort of a confession of love. And then on the album, it's definitely a folksy sort of album, and I found a pretty upbeat sort of album with lyrics that are quite heavy and do divulge into pretty deep stuff. And so I guess, was that always sort of the intention to have that juxtaposition or blend of sort of musical upbeat and then thematically, lyrically sort of downbeat and deep?
I think a lot of that, it's not necessarily an intention that I write with. I do almost always write with melody and music first and lyrics second. I don't really tend to write words that without having music already written. But I think part of that juxtaposition between like happy sounding music and sad sounding lyrics is something that's very folky, as you said. It's really within the folk canon. There are a lot of like country songs or old folk songs that are about really sad things, but that are just have this really happy sound to them, or they're really fast. Yeah, like there's a band I really like, a group called the Carter Family. They're one of the first sort of recording families in American music history. They were a country music band, and it's something they do a lot where they'll have, yeah, like the songs will be really upbeat and really driven and really like sound really fun, and then you'll cue into the lyrics and it will be about something really terrible happening. And it's also really common in like 50s or 60s country music. You'll have people like singing about heartbreak or about things going horribly wrong, but the music itself is really happy. And I think I like that juxtaposition almost because, like I was saying, this album is really, it has a lot of duality to it. Like it's about the duality of experiences that we have and the juxtaposition between love and hurt and the tension that is created, knowing that like whenever you feel good or happy about something, it means that something has the potential to make you feel really bad if it doesn't go the way you want it to or the way you expect it to. And so I think that tension of happy and sad is just, that's just life. And yeah, I like writing about that.
Yeah, for sure. And it definitely comes out in the songs on the album. But yeah, this next song coming up is called January, December by Anthea Fever. All right, this is CFRC 101.9 FM live sessions with Anthea Fever. So that last song you just played for us was called January, December. Again, just another really heartbreaking almost song lyrically and everything. And we touched on before about how the album is a very folksy, upbeat sounding album with also a very sort of dense instrumentation, like a lot of different instruments coming in. But then here today was just you, your voice, and your guitar. Is that sort of typical of most of your live performances, or do you bring out a band and other instruments when you do play live?
I basically only play live by myself. So yeah, having a band in for the album was really, really fun. Whenever I bring people in to record on my songs, I usually just tell them to do whatever they feel like doing to the music. And then like afterwards we can talk about it and workshop it. But I love working like that because other people just bring stuff to your music that you wouldn't even necessarily have envisioned there yourself. One of my favorite things someone brought to this album was my friend Teyar Frost, who plays fiddle and viola on a few tracks, suggested having sleigh bells on Eleanor, so that tinkly sound you hear throughout is just him playing the sleigh bells, which was really fun. But I don't usually play with a band. I usually play solo. But for my album release show at Next Church on Saturday, October 19th, I will be playing with a band. So it will be a rare opportunity to see me perform live with a band. And many of the people I'm playing with did record on the album, so it'll be a lot of the same arrangements.
All right. Well, you heard it here at the Kingston Next Church.
Yes, at 89 Colburn Street.
Yep, October 19th. And this last song you'll be playing for us is called This Whole World Bringing Me Down.
Sure is.
Soon's bloodied by a blue monsoon. We leave our children budding in the eyes of June. Betraying tender tales from old calendars strewn of the world we're leaving it drown. This world we're leaving it drown.
Howdy, folks. This is Anthea Fever, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM.
The time is 11:30 a.m., and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, Queen's Campus and Community Radio. My name is Jeff Hammaker, and I'm here to present the second episode of Early Music Adventure for Kingston Baroque Consort's 2024-2025 season. KBC is an ensemble of local and occasional guest musicians who are dedicated to the historically informed performance of Baroque music. In addition to the usual details of our upcoming concert, we've prepared a feature interview with a collaborating artist who will be offering an exciting visual dimension to the proceedings. However, I want to get today's show rolling with part of KBC's performance this past April featuring Baroque multi-instrumentalist Karim Nasser. Our program was dedicated to a selection of the most popular Baroque works, and we began with the first suite of Les Symphonies des Fanfares by Jean-Joseph Mouret, probably best known for the Rondeau that was the theme for PBS's Masterpiece Theatre for many years. We hope that you enjoy.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Early Music Adventure on CFRC 101.9 FM. I'm Jeff Hammaker. Kingston Baroque Consort is looking forward to presenting a special project for this season, a multimedia show that will combine narration for the story of and instrumental music from the opera The Dragon of Wantley, with visual art commissioned specifically for this concert. Described more specifically as a burlesque opera, it was the creation of librettist Henry Carey and composer John Frederick Lamb. It not only took aim at the contemporary politician Robert Walpole and his unpopular taxation policies, but also satirized the technical and aesthetic excesses of many opera productions of the day. In order to let you know a few more details, Kingston Baroque Consort co-founder Katie Legere recorded an interview with our featured collaborating artist Colton Fox to discuss his preparation of the visual media for The Dragon of Wantley, as well as an activity for patrons to engage in some fun art making of their own before the concert. Here's the first part of that conversation.
Hi, folks. I'm Katie Legere, one of the founding members of the Kingston Baroque Consort, and I'm here with Colton Fox, the graphic artist who we're partnering with for the production of The Dragon of Wantley at the Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts on Monday, October 22nd, 21st, at 7:30 p.m. Hi, Colton. So I picked you kind of randomly for this project, mostly by asking friends who might have a better connection than I do with the artist community. I did look at your website, though, and I really thought this might be a fun fit, and I really like the examples of your art there. They were kind of what I had vaguely in mind when I was thinking of it. So I have some questions for you. What did you think when I reached out asking about the project?
Well, thank you for picking me. I was very relieved to have a new project lined up to help me pay for my wife's wedding ring. So that was great. But in general, I was really excited about the idea of combining visual storytelling with the Kingston Baroque Consort's performance. I hadn't done any project like this before, so I was really excited. I've worked in film and storyboarding and largely comics, but something like this I thought was very unique for any artist. So thank you for picking me at random.
I think life is generally a lot about random stuff. So can you describe your process for creating the artwork for the Dragon Show?
So I went to the local library and scoured art books there. I know there's lots of resources online, but I like to sometimes just go into a library and do something a little more hands-on. I wanted to meld the conventions of the period-appropriate artwork with my comic book influences. I typically work digitally, but for this one I decided to hand-draw everything with a dip pen and paper so that there was a little bit of more authenticity to the line art that was being created.
Oh, that's very cool. And I have seen like some of the preliminary art. I haven't seen the whole thing, but I'm really looking forward to it when we start getting closer to the show. Can you give the audience an idea of what they will be seeing when they come to the event?
Well, I don't know what to expect either. I'm really looking forward to seeing the performances and the music. But in terms of the artwork, they can expect very detailed illustrations that act as an accompanying storybook to the performance, almost like a comic without speech bubbles. And there's also lots of fun background details that I've hidden in every slide. So I'm excited for people to try to, like, catch all the little background jokes that I've added.
Ooh, Easter eggs. Everybody loves Easter eggs. That's cool. You are running a free Make a Dragon Zine, right? Yeah. Workshop, and it's going to be at 6:30 in the Isabel Lobby. So for those of us who aren't really familiar with what a zine is, I did look it up on the internet, so I do know what it is, but I've certainly never made one. Can you tell us about what will happen at the workshop?
Yeah, so they're called zines. Sorry to correct you, zines are a lot of fun to make. You basically just take you can make a 6-page book just by folding a single piece of paper. So I'll lead people through that folding process where they can make their own fun booklet that they can fill with drawings of dragons. I've conducted several zine workshops across Kingston previously. I've worked with the Kingston School of Art. I've worked with the Broom Factory. I've done a fair amount of zine making workshops, and they're always so much fun. And so I'm really excited to put one on at the Isabel Bader Center.
Cool. And do you have an age group in mind, or is this something that kind of any age kids could do or adults could do?
Zines are for everyone. So I've held a bunch of workshops for younger kids, like classes from grades 4 to 5. But I've also done some hollow zine workshops and valenzine workshops for adults to make scary zines and also zines to give their true loves. So they're perfect for any age demographic.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah, it would be nice to get a good audience there. We have kind of a core audience that comes to hear the music, but I want everybody to know that, you know, our policy is that if you're under 17, the whole thing is free. So you can come to the concert for free. The concert's only about an hour long, so it's not a giant time commitment, and it'll be really fun. And if you're over 17 but you're a student, then it's only $10. So we try to keep the prices to work for everybody. Anyway, hopefully there'll be lots of people there.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, Queen's Campus and Community Radio. Let's continue with the conversation between Kingston Baroque Consort co-founder Katie Legere and local visual artist Colton Fox.
So, Colton, what other projects are you working on these days?
So I have a new issue of my independent comic series, Witch Hazel, which I make with Beige Bloom, and that is going to be available in Kingston at Midori and Nexus, as well as in several comic shops in Toronto. Witch Hazel will be taking over the Elm Cafe next year in celebration of a massive new issue. So 2025 is going to be huge. So follow me at Colton the Fox, ColtonTheFox, so you don't miss out on announcements and release dates for all things Witch Hazel.
Oh, that sounds really cool. Yeah, you have a lot of really cool stuff on your website. I really enjoyed it, except that I think that the shop stuff is still not there. So nobody can buy Colton Fox t-shirts yet. But maybe sometime there'll be a Witch Hazel t-shirt or something. Very good. So I just have a few random other questions. I looked at your website. Are you really allergic to cats?
Yes, I am very allergic to cats, which is too bad because that's going to complicate my dream of living with a pride of lions in the Sahara.
Yes, that will certainly make that. You'll have to take lots of anti-allergy drugs for the pride of lions. If you had to give advice to other young, I think at my age I can call you young, young graphic artists, what kind of advice would you give them?
I guess I have more of a application advice and then more of a philosophical advice. The practical advice is to put in the work. Don't take shortcuts. I know that these days there's a lot of, you know, quick ways to make art with the expanse and rise of AI art. But that's not going to help you express yourself truly. And so don't take shortcuts. Practice the fundamentals. Don't be afraid to practice with other mediums. Don't pigeon yourself into just one medium. If you get good at painting, that's going to help you draw. And if you get good at draw, it's going to help you sculpt. And then my philosophical advice is comparison is the theft of joy. So even though I get to do all these fun projects, I still compare myself to others and be like, oh, well, you know, I want to do that, or I want to do this, or I wish my work looked like that. But at the end of the day, that's just going to rob you of the happiness for the things that you are working on. So be grateful for the things that you have and just focus on improving your craft.
Oh, and I think you'll like the thing I always say about music that you'll get to experience when we do the show is that there are very few jobs in this world where when you're finished your day of work, everybody stands up and applauds. It's really an amazing end to things. So thanks so much for the interview. That was really great. And this will be on CFRC. It should be pretty exciting. And again, the show is Monday, October 21st. At 7:30 p.m., there is information on the Isabel Bader Center website, and the Make Your Dragon zine workshop is at 6:30 p.m. in the lobby. Hope to see you there. Thanks.
You're tuned to CFRC 101.9 FM. Welcome back to Early Music Adventure. I'm going to round out the show today with part of Kingston Baroque Consort's most recent performance, entitled French Brocade, which included guest artist Olivier Brault on Baroque violin. Marais Marais is well known as both a virtuoso performer on viola da gamba and a composer of some of the most demanding solo works for that instrument. However, for this concert, we selected an example of his chamber music for two treble instruments and basse continue, some of the first in this genre by any French composer. from the Suite No. 1 in C major of Mahler's Pièce en Trio. Here are the Prelude, Second Sarabande, Fantaisie, Gavotte, and two minuets.